What's my most favorite thing to do? To talk. Every week I'll do just that. We'll feature national and international movers and shakers, experts in their fields, and all around interesting people with something more than great to say. No holds barred. We'll tackle every topic imaginable, especially for women over 40. This is Conversations with Sima. Please stay tuned.
I knew exactly what love looked like
in seventh grade.
Even though I hadn't met love yet, if love had wandered into my homeroom, I would have recognized him at first glance. Love wore a hemp necklace.
I would have recognized her at first glance. Love wore a tight French braid.
Love played acoustic guitar and knew all my favorite Beatles songs.
Love wasn't afraid to ride the bus with me.
And I knew. I just must be checking the wrong classrooms.
Just must be searching the wrong hallways. She was there. I was sure of it.
If only I could find him.
But when love finally showed up, she had a bowl cut.
He wore the same clothes every day for a week.
Hi and welcome. That was Sarah Kay and Phil Kay performing their piece, When Love Arrives. Today's show will include four pioneers in the field of spirituality and medicine. They'll be discussing their thoughts and feelings about love.
My name is Cynthia Bricks, and I'm from the Satchana Institute and Gender Equity and Reconciliation International. We're located north of Seattle in the Snohomish area. My feelings and thoughts and inspirations on love come from a spiritual dimension, I'd say, start from that place that we see across all the different religious and spiritual traditions. And how I interpret it or how I actually experience it and live it in the world is connecting on a vertical plane while walking on the horizontal plane. So my questions that I ask myself often are, how am I walking the path of love in every moment of every day? How am I remaining in remembrance in every moment? And it's really a practice of love. In the Hindu tradition, it would be considered bhakti karma yoga, and bhakti meaning love, and that love for the divine, the love for God, the love for an ultimate reality, the love for, in the feminine aspects, would be Mary or the divine feminine, the goddess. In the masculine might be Krishna, Jesus, Buddha. How are we connecting with that ultimate reality and then bringing that into our heart center, and how are we then walking out in the world in an active way, in remembrance of that connection on the horizontal plane, and then walking in our every step of how we are in the world, in the marketplace, in the shopping center malls, caring for our children or our grandchildren. This is my practice in everyday life. It's what is most important to me about just being in that essence of love and in remembrance. For me, I have a mantra practice, or some call it the repetition of the holy name. And it's actually a practice of repeating a word or a phrase that you repeat silently, and it becomes like a thread that connects, in my words, a thread that connects to the divine, or the thread that connects to God. And then it helps me be in this world in some ways in times that are rough or challenging. In a Buddhist tradition, the words of Om Mani Padme Hum would be a mantra that you might use. Or in the Christian tradition, it might be still and know that I am God. Or it might just be the word peace or love. And in doing that practice, it helps me to remember the love that I have for the divine. It helps me to remember the love that I have for myself. And then I'm able to be in service with others in the world and be in that place of agape or agape love or compassion, loving kindness, or the highest divine love there is, and seeing each person, each being on this earth as a creation of God. And even with all our different challenges of personalities that come into play that bring conflict and challenge with one another, there's that pure essence within us all that I would call love, that spark of love, that divine love, that I want to be in remembrance with. I want to meet you in that place. I want to remember you and know that that's the place I'm meeting. In this particular time in our own country of the United States, and yet and beyond, in this time of the world where we're having so much upheaval and unknown and not knowing what might happen the next moment, this practice is really helpful for me to stay in that place of loving essence and coming from a place of responding to what is happening rather than reacting to what is happening. In the Hindu tradition, Indian tradition, the namaste is really important. And as you walk through India, people greet you with the namaste. And it's the meaning of namaste, or one meaning, is I greet you, I greet the divine in you as you bow with that namaste bow. That can be done silently as well. So that remembrance of greeting one another in that place of the divine love for each other and letting go of all the things that are bothering us about one another, about the conflicts that might be there, and coming into that highest essence of love. So Martin Luther King said, "Injustice and corruption will never be transformed by keeping them hidden, but only by bringing them out into the light and confronting them with the power of love." That's really where we are right now in this moment. We were there in the 60s when he said it, but we're also there right now in this moment. How do we address the issues in our daily life, in the worldly life, of injustice and corruption and things that are happening? We do it with love. And on this Valentine's Day, it's the perfect time to recommit to coming into that divine essence of our love in our own heart that's a fractal. We're part of that love. It's God's love. It's universal love. It's the ultimate love. And we can act from that place. We can respond to everything in our life from that essence of love in our own hearts. I will end with the quote from Mother Teresa, who says, "I have found the paradox that if you love until it hurts, there can be no more hurt, only more love."
Hi, this is Mama Donna. I'm Mama Donna Hennis, urban shaman. And today I'd like to talk about love. One of the things actually that I do is, beside my public work, is I work with individuals as a spiritual counselor, but also as a wedding officiant. And so I work a lot with couples and love and how love impacts relationships and how relationships impacts love. So first of all love begins with self-love. Clearly, that has to happen. You can't say, "I love you," unless you can say, "I. Who am I what am I? What do I need? What do I want? What do I value? And how do I take care of myself? How do I give myself what I need? This is really, really important. Among my other services is I'm a tarot reader. And not surprisingly, a lot of women come to me with the question of, when am I going to meet my soulmate? When am I going to get married? When am I going to meet my twin flame, etc.? And more often than not, their reading is telling me that they need to learn how to love themselves first. Until we can love ourselves, we can't really love anybody else. And this is really crucial, not just in finding a new relationship, but in being able to deal with the relationship that you already have, whether it's a lover or a spouse or a friend or even a relative. Hollywood has really led us down a primrose path that leads really to nowhere. So we have been led to believe that true love is expressed by somebody knowing our heart, knowing our soul, knowing exactly what we need, knowing exactly what we need to hear, knowing exactly how to make us feel good, no matter what. And that's, of course, that's ridiculous. And it puts an undue, unnecessary, and really unfair onus on a partner. How can we expect anybody to read our mind, to read our soul? That's ridiculous. We have enough trouble reading our own mind and our own soul and our own needs. And so it becomes very important for each of us to know what we want and to learn how to please ourselves and how to take care of ourselves. And the only way we can do that is by loving ourselves. And once we love ourselves and once we can take care of our own emotional needs and even our own sexual needs, then we become an expert in us. We become an expert in what we need and how we want to be pleased and how we want to be taken care of. It's very interesting that oftentimes we will take care of somebody else or treat somebody else in the way that we ourselves want to be taken care of or treated. And that's not necessarily accurate for them. So we need to learn first by taking care of ourselves, by loving ourselves. What do we need? How do we need it? What do we like? What don't we like? What kind of touch do we like? What kind of support do we like? What kind of help? What kind of healing? What kind of mothering? What kind of fathering? What kind of supporting? What kind of cheerleader do we really crave in our lives? And then we just need to ask for it. Certainly, if somebody loves you, they want to please you. They don't want to have to guess what you want. They want instruction. And once you do that, I guarantee you it will make your relationship much easier and more important, much more fulfilling to you, and therefore much more fulfilling to you. And when that's the case, it becomes much more fulfilling to the other person. And you have then a much better chance of having a really happy love life.
Hi, my name is Dr. Christiane Northrup. I am a board-certified obstetrician-gynecologist by training, and I also love to dance Argentine tango and play the Celtic harp. And I have spent, I would say, lifetimes learning about love. And just this morning, Tosha Silver sent me this amazing quote. It's by Osho, and the title is, "The capacity to be alone is the capacity to love." And here's the quote. "It may look paradoxical to you, but it's not. It is an existential truth. Only those people who are capable of being alone, are capable of love, of sharing, of going into the deepest core of another person without possessing the other, without becoming dependent on the other, without reducing the other to a thing, and without becoming addicted to the other. They allow the other's absolute freedom because they know that if the other leaves, they will be as happy as they are now. Their happiness cannot be taken by the other because it is not given by the other. Now, I would say that that quote summarizes my lifetime, but I would say from 2011 onward, I had the biggest heartbreak of my life, not after the end of my marriage, but after I found the love of my life and he simply couldn't step up. I had a dream recently that I took him two gifts. One gift was a pink gem necklace with seashells. So seashells are deep emotion. Pink is the color of love. And I gave him this gift in profound gratitude, because without this shattering of my illusions about love, I never would be the woman I am today. I never would have learned tango. I never would have gone back to my harp. I never would have come home to myself. And I would have continued the path that I see so many women and men taking, which is to enter into addictive relationships because they are so afraid of being alone. Our whole job on the planet is to make the inner marriage, the sacred inner marriage of the masculine and the feminine. And what we see playing outside of ourselves, particularly now in this time and space, is this enormous last gasp of the old order, the dominator culture, you might call it. But whatever's happening outside of us is also happening inside. It's the old Hermes Trismegistus, as above, so below, as within, so without. And so when we speak of love, the first love needs to be love of self. That's self with a capital S. And I know many of us have been taught that to love yourself is selfish. It isn't selfish. It's self-preservation. It is the beginning of all love. It is the opposite of narcissistic love. Narcissistic love is not real love. Those are the people where it's all about them, because inside they are profoundly empty, and they're looking to fill it with drama, with sex, with food, with alcohol, with whatever it is. But the minute that you can enjoy being alone at home, making dinner for yourself, and sitting down and enjoying it with yourself, because you've made that marriage within, that's love, that's freedom, that's joy. And then paradoxically, from that place, you become magnetic to your good. You literally become magnetic, because the signal that you're then sending out is, I am whole, I am complete, I am profoundly lovable. How about we dance together? How about we do that? It's a very different vibration than the one that leads us to reading book after book on how to attract your soulmate, which is basically, and please believe me, I have read every one of them. I've done everything that there is to do in this regard. I've overturned every single stone, and the divine within me said, we're not going to make it that easy for you, because that's what you signed up for. You signed up for this path where now, you can actually be with someone else, because for the first time in your life, and probably lifetimes, you can be with yourself. It's kind of a miracle. And that's what I have to say about love.
Things my family did. I am not the voices in my head. I am not the...
Hi, this is Dr. Barbara DeAngelis. I'm a best-selling author, radio and TV host, transformational teacher, and a lifelong student of love and transformation from the inside out. I know that for all of you, love has been a lifelong journey. Love is the most powerful force in our lives. It inspires us, it frustrates us, it gives us joy and sometimes heartbreak. And we usually think about love as an emotion we experience or a bond with someone close to us. But love actually isn't an emotion, a behavior, or even the connection you feel with another person. It's actually a supercharged, light-drenched, limitless vibrational field of energy. It's actually the source energy of everything that's inside of us. We all want love, but we mistakenly believe that we have to wait for something to happen or someone to do something to have an experience of it. So what this means is we're waiting to feel love, for someone to do something to qualify, so for something to rise up inside of us. But the truth is, and this is really revolutionary, no one can ever give you any love you don't already have. Have you ever thought, what does someone do to get their love, quote, into you? The answer is nothing. No one gives you a transfusion of love or puts bottles of love for you to drink every day. When you register that you're feeling love, nothing has been added to you that can be measured, because nothing's actually been added at all. As I say, it's always your own love, your own energy field. What happens is somebody comes along and does something kind of like the wind on an ocean. And your energy, your own experience of that source energy rises up because of something they do. People are kind of like wind makers. So when you see the ocean and a big wave rises up because the wind came, that water that rises up isn't from the wind, it's from the ocean. This is an amazing way to understand the fact that you can't really feel love from anywhere else but inside of you. A partner or a relationship is just a vehicle through which you can experience your own amazing love. The problem is that for many of us, over time in life with our unhealed emotions and hurts, we have created a lot of ice blocks in our heart. That field of love, that vibrational field, has, in a sense, frozen. And block by block, we wall off our ability to feel ourselves and let that energy flow out to other people. So I always talk about the fact in my book, The Choice for Love, that we need to do what I call the big melt. The big melt is the experience of being able to heal one by one all of those patterns that, in a sense, trap that love from moving. How to defrost the places in your heart that have become hard and frozen. Why is this important? Because every day of your life, you are literally changing the world with your heart. Your heart is actually a powerful electromagnetic field. Physicists tell us this now. Even though we think of our heart as something that is a muscle, it pumps blood, it's actually an electrical, powerful field of energy. It radiates out electromagnetic vibrations way more than your mind does. Your heart's electromagnetic field is actually about 5,000 times greater in strength than your brain's. That energy from your heart, and it can be measured, not only affects every cell in your body, but it actually extends out in the space around you. And scientists estimate that the actual electromagnetic energy radiating from your heart right now touches and interacts with anyone around you, everything around you, at least 8 to 10 feet from where you are and beyond that in very subtle ways. The quality of the vibration in your heart sends out those electromagnetic signals, and they communicate with and actually change the energy of everyone else around you immediately in profound ways. You've all had this experience. You walk into a room and you feel something that doesn't feel right to you. Somebody you've never met comes close to you and you instantly feel connected. That experience isn't in your head. It's actually happening as a vibrational experience in your heart. So when your own heart waves are harmonious and coherent, they send out those vibrations to the world. This is a life-altering understanding because you are changing the blueprint of the world all the time. You're sending out energies of peace or energies of dissonance. Whatever takes place in your heart is impacting and changing the frequency of everyone, including the world. And now, more than ever, in these very disturbing times, we each, I believe, need to live our highest consciousness. We each need to be in a place where we are vibrating out the highest electromagnetic field. We can and are always making a difference. We can't say that it's so negative that we want to tune out and turn away. People, when they say, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with anything, I'm out of it. The truth is there's no way you're out. You are in. We are all in. You are part of the vortex of energy that is on the planet all the time. This is why I invite people now more than ever to learn how to make what I call the choice for love. Love doesn't just happen. The experience of compassion doesn't just happen. You can choose it in each moment. You can learn how to recalibrate yourself in each moment. Now more than ever, I believe the choice for love is an essential spiritual practice and the highest service to our planet and humankind.
I leave you with the song called Songs of Love that Julio Belzer wrote 2 months before his death, which inspired his fraternal twin to establish the Songs of Love Foundation, a national nonprofit organization dedicated to creating uplifting, personalized songs for children and teens struggling with life-threatening illnesses or a lifetime of disability. Take care.
Can we see that it doesn't mean a thing now? You turn our backs and walk away on love. Can we try to understand that there is something more? Just a melody that sets us free. Songs of love is really what we